Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Murfreesboro Missionary Baptist Church. It's time to start our service. Let's all stand for our first hymn, Heavenly Highway Hymns, page 118. 118. May be seated. Let's turn over to page 129.
Good to see everybody this morning. Appreciate you being here today. We are a little bit down as far as our numbers. Do-re-mi is starting today, so a lot of our young people are checking in up at the academy today, and I'm sorry they're not here with us today, but I'm glad to see each and every one of you here today. I hope you've had a good week. It's been a good week for us in many ways. I just hope and pray that we can have a really great day in the Lord today is what I really want us to do. We're glad to have everybody here. We've got visitors with us again, and we're thankful for you some hadn't been here for a while, I guess is the best way I should say it, and we're glad you're back with us today. I hope you can just be blessed greatly today in this service. I do want to comment on that last song, "This World Is Not My Home." It always brings back a memory to me. Now, Brother Bill and Sister Ruth, they talk about us years ago, and they was commenting the other day, they come to a service back several years ago to visit with us, and we, as a group of preachers, we used to go to the nursing home and preach. And I didn't remember us being called this, but Miss Ruth called it the JC Preachers. And it was on the sign that way because what started it was a club by the name of the JCs. Now, they're a business organization is what they are, but there was a group of us got together in the club, and we kind of had a thought about going there, and it all just kind of got going. Now, to get back to the song, I went around the moon to get there, but I apologize for that. But the thing about it was we would sing that song just about every Sunday because there was one old lady that would request it. She'd sit there in her wheelchair, and she would, as we would sing, get done singing that song, "This world is not my home," and her hand would shake like this. And I still remember that lady. But her, as she was saying it, she'd raise up just a little bit. She'd say, "This world is not my home." And I was always thankful for that testimony that she gave. She'd love to hear that song. She'd think about going to heaven, going out of this world into a better land. And Lord knows the condition that she was health-wise, but she didn't have a lot of family left, didn't have a lot of visitors, but she had home on the other side, and that's what she think about. And that's what we should think about. We should think about our home on the other side. Yeah, it's good to live down here. It's a blessing to be able to live each and every day, but you know what? We've got something better on the other side, and that's what I want you to think about each and every day. It's good to be here today, as we always do. We want to have our children's church. Brother Sam is out today, and he called me last night, said he wasn't going to be able to be here. Okay, now better get something together. So, kids, if you'll come right over here today, we'll have your children's church today. Come right on up here, sir. Calling all kids. Calling all kids. We'll take all ages. We'll let Brother Ray come if he will. All right, kids. I want to talk to you a little bit about how God created everything, okay? Do you remember he created in how many days? 7 days is a week. Actually, he done it on, I see six fingers. Good. Thank you. It's 6 days that he made everything. And I want you to think about today what he made each day. You see, the first day, and I got me a little hint to remind me. I went through it all over the years and everything. But I got me some things to help me to remind me. The first day, do you know what he made? He made heaven and earth. He made the heavens and the earth for us. He put it out here, and it was just, basically, it was a big blob is what I kind of come to realize it was, made up of water and out, just floating out in space is what he did. But that was his first day. But the first thing that he did, he said there was darkness upon the earth. And so he made light. Now, I've got an opinion. You know, years ago, I used to think, well, when he made light, he made the sun. He put it up there for us. But no. That's not what he did. He made the plan of salvation for us, is what he did. And I'll show you here in a few minutes why I come to realize that it wasn't the sun. Because on the second day, he took the earth as it was. Now, it wasn't like it is now. When it was, you know, that we, if you've seen the pictures from space, you know, it's a big ball kind of sitting up there, kind of like an egg, you know, big blue ball. It wasn't like that. It was all just kind of floating around together. It wasn't in place yet. So he made what he called a firmament. And what it was a divider there. And he made the waters and everything to go together. And he put it in place and he gave it kind of a shape, I think. And then what he did was it was to divide it from everything else. And I think that was when he kind of gave it a form. You know, like I said, when you see the pictures from space and they show that little blue marble up there on TV, that was what he made. But it wasn't like it is now, even then. So on the third day, he caused something to happen. You see, it's all water. Then he caused a dry ground to come up. You like this dry ground out here? It's nice to walk on. Peter walked on water for a few steps, but I don't think I'd like walking on water all the time. I don't think I'd like living in the water all the time. I like the water pretty good, but I don't think I'd like it all the time. So God gave us dry ground to live on. And he made the ground to come up out of the water. And he just divided it all out. But he gave us a place to walk is what he did. And on that, he started growing the grass. Y'all like grass? You do? Good. Do any of you cut grass? How about pull it? Do you pull grass from time to time? Yeah, we all do a little bit, don't we? Get out there and pull in that grass. But God made the grass. He not only made the grass, but he made trees for us. He made herbs, as the Bible tells us. And he made these plants that we might have here on this earth. That was in the third day that he did that. Now, on the fourth day, he looked at the earth and he said, there needs to be living creatures on here. Do you remember what he made first? Do you? He made birds and fishes. A lot of people think we as people were first, but we wasn't. He was making all the birds and the fishes is what he did. And he put them out here on the earth, the fish, just to go around in the earth and the birds to fly up in the air. And they were just as happy as they could be. And God said it was good. Then on that fifth day, God started making some other things is what he did. Whoops, I got my days mixed up here. Oh, I did. I forgot something. What did I forget? What did I forget? Did I say it was the sun earlier? We had to have a sun, didn't we? So on the fourth day, he had the sun and the moon, and he put them in place on that fourth day. You see, that's why I say he made the plan of salvation. He got it ready and everything on that first day. And then on that fourth day, he made the sun. He put it out there. And then he put the moon out there around the earth. And you know what I think he did? He started spinning it. You know, the earth sits just right for us to be able to stay on this. He spun it at just the right speed where we stay on it. You know, they talk about gravity in school. Y'all studied that? And how that it holds us on the earth? That comes from that spin. It's just right to where we can walk and run and do everything. And yet, it's enough that it holds us on the ground too, is what it does. And God done all that on the fourth day. And then, like I said, then he made the birds and the fishes. The birds and the fishes on the fifth day. Then on the sixth day, what did he make? He made animals. Y'all got any animals? You like flamingos? Those are birds. Yeah, those are the birds, weren't they? He made them before he did us, is what he did. Then when he made all the animals, anybody got an elephant? Anybody got a bear? He called them the beast of the field. And he made all the other animals, and he called them, he said, even the creeping things. Y'all like snakes? See, nods and shaking head. How about bugs? That's the bugs, is the creeping things. When he made all the things to walk upon the earth, then he knelt down and he made something special, I think. Yes, he did. He made a man, didn't he? What was his name? Adam, right. And he made Adam in his own likeness is what he did. And that's one of the things I want you to remember. He made Adam to be like you in his image. And that's what I want you to get out of this today. God made everything. A lot of times we talk about that and just say God made everything. But I want you to see kind of how he done everything. And it was all just right. All right, I'll turn y'all loose. Thank y'all for coming up today. We appreciate each and every one coming out today for service. I appreciate our kids coming out for our children's church today. Does anybody have a prayer request at this time today? We want to remember our older ones that are sick. Brother Jeff is still in the hospital as far as I know. We want to remember Sister Theta and the Sister Charlsey. We need to remember those older ones. But there was a lot of prayer requests this morning. There's also some praise that's going on today in our services. And let's be about God's business today. And if you've got something to praise God for today, just let the Lord have his honor is what I'd ask you to do. Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart today? Appreciate each and every one being here today. Brother Tom, if you would you start our prayer? Everybody pray, though, please.
Let's turn over to 163.
Thank you.
congregational song, 86.
I really enjoy songs that, one, tell a story. I think these make good songs. One that tells a story, one that tells a testimony, and one that is a prayer directly to God. And this song is all three of those. I think that makes this a great song. It's written by, or co-written by Rodney Griffin, one of my favorite writers. I hope you enjoy it.
A traveler journeyed down the road to Jericho. He was beaten by some thieves and left to die. Teachers of religion and the law came near to where he lay, but the Levite and the priest just passed him by. He wondered if the God they served had a heart of stone. Does he walk on by whenever we're in pain? All at once he felt a stranger reaching out with love and kindness. He healed his wounds and put him on the right way. He didn't need the law that would teach him right from wrong and how he'd sin. Religion wouldn't help him mend the shattered, broken pieces back again. He was hoping for one person who would open up their heart and take the time. Lord, grant that I would show your light, that Samaritan's heart would be mine. I too was like that traveler who walked down the road of sin, wounded by the thief and left to die. I tried religion and the law, but couldn't find my way. It seemed that help would always pass me by. Would the choices that I'd made in life curse my soul forever? Could God forgive me of my past mistakes? All at once I saw a nail-scarred hand reach out with love and kindness. He healed my wounds and put me on the right way. I didn't need the law that would teach me right from wrong and how I'd sinned. Religion wouldn't help me mend the shattered, broken pieces back again. I was hoping for one person who would open up their heart and take the time. Lord, just like that Samaritan, Lord, I thank you that you did not pass me by. There's a host of broken people lying on the dusty road. God's touch is what they're needing. It's up to us to make them whole. 'Cause they don't need the law that would teach them right from wrong and how they've sinned. Religion will not help them mend the shattered, broken pieces back again. They just need one person who will open up their heart and take the time. Lord, grant that I would show your light, that Samaritan's heart would be mine. Grant that I would show your light, that Samaritan's heart would be mine.
Amen. Good job, Brother Trey. Good song, Brother Trey. Appreciate the song. Appreciate everybody being here today. I've got a card here. I should have read this earlier, but I'm behind. And we do want to continue to pray for Brother Lanny and his family, loss of his mother. The card says we want to take this time to thank our church family for all of the texts, calls, cards, the visits, and the food during the passing of Lanny's mom. It was very much appreciated. We have a blessed church family, and that's from Lanny and Carla Jenkins and the family themselves. And Brother Lanny, I apologize not for reading that earlier. And but we are glad to have everyone here today. We do want to continue to remember Brother Lanny and the family as they go through this time of grief and loss. And let's just be prayerful for them very much today. Anybody got a word upon your heart this morning? As you can tell, I'm still a little bit hoarse. I'm going to use this water that's up here today, probably.
I got
saved. When? When? When'd you get saved, Landon?
Saturday, May 20th.
Saturday, May 20th. Well, good. Had you told anybody else before this? Bless your heart. I'm glad to hear that, Landon. Yes, that's great news. Can I shake hands with you? Give you a hug or something? Bless you, huh? Bless your heart. Good to hear this good news. I'm thankful for that. Bless your heart, Landon. And I'm thankful for that. And I just hope and pray that you'll be the church member the Lord wants you to be. Is what I want you to be. And that's going to be my next encouragement for you, is join the church. Be baptized. That's what God commands you to do. Bless your heart. Somebody else got a word on your heart. This is good news for us. Something we've been longing to see. Been praying for Landon for a long time. The first time I came here, he came to the altar, and I've been praying for him ever since. Want him to know that. It wasn't my prayer, though. It was your prayer. Where'd you get saved at? Somewhere in the house or somewhere? In the house. Okay. All right. Did he? Okay. That's good. That's good. Yeah, it's your job to tell it. Every chance you get, it's your job to tell it. That's good. Somebody else got a word on your heart. Somebody else may have been saved and hadn't told it. Amen. Amen. Know that. Appreciate that. Somebody else. I want everybody to follow the Lord. Do not ever think that a church service is a preacher preaching. Church service is following God and worshiping God. That's the church service. Somebody got something on your heart? Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Amen.
I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for you.
Lord bless.
Praise God.
Amen. Praise God. That's right. Praise God. Okay. Is that okay, Landon? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. We do. Everybody that will, Brother Brad, if you can get us a song ready, we're going to get Landon up here. And we all want to come around, shake hands, and hug him. And just bid him Godspeed is what we want to do right here today. You about ready, Brother Brad?
199.
Everybody that wants to come around, shake hands with this young fella, just told about being saved, come right ahead. Bless you, sir.
Thank you.
let you go there. Anybody else got something you need to tell us? Anybody else? Anybody got anything on your heart, a song or something? I want everybody to follow the Lord. Brother Brad? Amen. Been a while. Should be. Devil lost one, and we ought to be excited about it. Good to see everybody today. Somebody else got a word on your heart?
Psalm 242, a verse.
All right. Go right ahead. Somebody else got something on your heart. I'm thankful this morning for this great blessing. Blessing and getting to hear somebody say that they're saved is what I want to say this morning. We're glad of this. I hope you can enjoy this today, that the Lord would just bless us in a great way, even more so. There's others here today that needs to get saved. Maybe some here that needs to tell us that they've been saved. I don't know. I'm just praying that you do what God lays upon your heart and that we will do what we need to do. Anybody got anything on your heart? If not, I guess you get to hear a sermon after all. Turn to Luke, last chapter. Jesus has died, been resurrected, and he has met with his disciples several different times. And now he is up at the Mount of Olives, and it's time for him to go back. And he starts giving some last instructions there. And he says, And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. That's reading verses 46 through 49 for our reading lesson today. And what just happened here a few minutes ago is a portion of our message today. Landon gave a witness. He gave a witness. He gave a witness that I've been saved. That's something that everybody here today heard. We heard him say it, and we can be witnesses of that. But today it is a witness from him of his salvation today. Our thought today is that ye are witnesses of these things. Our thought is that today, and I want you to not consider so much the action of the apostles and the disciples at this time as they were getting ready to see Jesus return into heaven. I don't want you to get that bogged down on those things right now, although that's what Jesus said. You saw how that repentance and remission of sin should be preached. He said that. But I don't want you to get bogged down on that part, because sometimes I'm afraid we get too bogged down on the preacher preaching. We get bogged down on the things that he is saying and what's being done in church instead of just listening to what God says for a service. For ye are witnesses today. I want you to think about that today. Ye are witnesses of what today? Are you witnesses today of this church service? Yes, you are. You're witnesses of this service today, of this sermon today. You are witnesses in that you are here and you are observing what goes on. I use this illustration a lot of times. When I'm talking about a witness, we talk about them in a courtroom setting. And they bring somebody up, they put them in the box there, and they're supposed to tell the truth, the whole truth, as best as they possibly can. And when I say the best as possibly they can only tell what they saw, heard, and that's it. What they experienced in that day. Now, today I want you to think of yourselves being that witness today. I've heard it said at different times, at different places, I'll say it that way, about preachers. They've said it in a manner this way, if I can get turned to where I want to get. They said, if somebody puts you on trial for being a Christian today, would there be enough evidence to convict you? I've heard that said about it. And it's a good question for all of us today to think about that today. If there was a trial set to see if you were a Christian or not, and I don't believe that a Christian is just somebody that says that they are Christ or been saved, I don't believe that. I believe that a Christian is somebody who lives and acts like Christ. That's what a true Christian actually is. They are a person that lives their life in such a way that that people see Christ in them. Now, in this today, I want you to see probably three little simple facts as far as how that you can be a witness of these things today. Landon did the first one. He did. He stood up. He told that he was saved. You can stand up at any time and tell that you've been saved. I tell you, it's one of the most precious things to me to hear a child to get up and say, "Thank the Lord for saving my soul," or something to that effect. But to me, it's also very precious to me to hear any of you say the same thing. It's something that I'm afraid that is getting away from us today in our churches, how that people are not as thankful for their salvation and not really able to say for God, "Thank you for saving my soul." I want you to hear today, as far as being a witness of these things, Sometimes, now Landon made it clear, I've been saved. I questioned him when it was. And then I said, where was you? Is what I did. And that's a time and place, as we call it. Every one of us has a different style of telling the story. Years ago, I got asked the question, why is there so much difference between Matthew and Mark, then of Luke, and then of John? Each one of them told basically the same story, but each one of them had different experiences and different things that stuck in their minds that they wrote down in their Gospels of Jesus Christ. When you tell your testimony, there is going to be a difference in the way that I tell it than the way that you tell it. You've heard me tell mine different times. I'm going to give you a short, quick version of when that I got saved. The night that I got saved, I had been playing ball. I'd been doing everything else that day. But when I entered into that church house, it was different that night. That entire week, I had sought the Lord more earnestly than I had ever done. I wanted to get saved, is what I wanted to do. But the thing about it is, that night, when they gave the altar call, I went through the same motions, except my cousin got my spot. I had to move over to the middle of the altar. It wasn't the altar itself, but it became my place. You've heard me tell how the boy next to me got saved just as I got ready to go home. And when I heard him say, "Mama, I got saved," I went back and started seeking again, because then I knew the Lord was there and he saved my soul. Thank God he did. What I'm trying to tell you today is my testimony is different from yours. It don't matter. Let me give you one out of the Bible. Paul told his testimony three different times in the scriptures, and none of the three are exactly the same. Go look it up. I'm going to give you the second one that is given in the 22nd chapter of Acts. And Paul said, "And it came to pass as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone a light from heaven, a great light round about me." Now, I'm going to tell you something. I didn't see a light. Don't think that you've got to see a light to get saved. Don't think that. I've heard people say, "Oh, there was the brightest light that day when I got saved." But I didn't. The majority of people don't see a great light. But Saul, did see a great light. And he said, "I fell upon the ground and I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, And who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he said, And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him and that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me," let me back up just a second. When he said, "What shall I do, Lord?" that Lord meant something. He was talking to Jesus and he knew he was Lord. He knew before that he was talking to something greater than him. But now he knew him as Lord, is what he did. And the Lord said unto him, "Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee all things which are appointed unto you to do." Now, what I want you to see here is my testimony is different from Paul's. Your testimony will probably be different from both offices, it will probably have similarities in some ways. But the most important part is the time when you knew the Lord was Lord. When you know that the Lord is Lord. That's the part that we're coming back to. The fact that when you witness of God's saving grace makes the difference, don't it? It made the difference in you. When you felt the saving grace of God, it just blessed you in that manner. And you know there was a change inside. You knew that something had happened inside. But in the same way, there's individuals out there in the world, in here in this church, that needs your witness. I think I've told this before, how that when Sister Earlene that day, she told her testimony about being saved, and she told it, that was the first time I think I'd heard it, and truthfully, I think I've heard it just barely in time since. But when she told that testimony, there was a young lady sitting on this side of the church house that said, that's just what I got. That's what happened to me. You see, this is the importance of the witness. Our thought today that ye are witnesses of these things. Many times when we are talking, we may say within ourselves, oh, I don't know what to say. As Brother Stewart talked about it this morning, how many times has the Lord impressed you to get up and say something in church? And I'll use this. He used the back of the bench and he held on to it. And he said, and we resisted saying, oh, they don't need to hear that. Oh, they've heard it before. But the fact of the matter is, God wants to hear it again. And he has a purpose in what you're saying. And as I said, you may have in your mind, and that comes from the devil himself saying to you, you don't know what to say. You'll say it wrong. You don't have to say it. What would you say? What would you say in that moment or in that time? What would you talk about in that moment in time? Well, what the Bible tells us, Jesus told Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, you know, I love this verse. In the 11th verse, he said, we speak that we do know. In other words, tell what you know. We testify to those things which we have seen. Tell what you saw in that day, what you felt, what you heard in that time. Tell what happened. If you go back to Paul's testimony, and I believe it's in the 16th chapter, I may have that wrong, but if you go back and look at it, it's a long testimony. If you go back over in, I think it's in the 26th chapter, when he tells it there, it's kind of short. But you get the point over that God touched him. See, you've got a point inside of you that can touch others because God touched you. Now, in this today, I want you to see something else as a witness today. And I've tried to talk about this much more in the last several months because I believe it's something that I've been failing to teach as much as I should. But the scripture tells us, the Bible commands us to be baptized and to show our salvation, to join the church in that way. Listen to what Paul said in the sixth chapter of Romans. Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. In other words, we're showing his death in that. Is that not a witness? It's a witness that when we have been saved by the grace of God to go into the waters and be immersed as Jesus was immersed, following his instruction, but also showing forth the death and the burial and the resurrection. When we tell about our salvation, we make the witness Jesus saved us. When we go into the waters and we are immersed into the water and laid down and brought up, we show his death, we show his burial, and then his resurrection is what it does. Is that not a witness of Jesus Christ? It sure is. And ye are witnesses, ye are witnesses of these things, is what the scriptures are telling you. Now, going on for that, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that right now, but I want you to think about your general witness each and every day. I talked about how that the scripture says that you are witnesses for Jesus Christ. I talked about your baptism, showing the death and the burial of Jesus Christ. It also goes down there, and I didn't read it, but it also shows the death of you, death to sin, and the burial of that old man that was there. You know, that's something we forget about a lot of times. After you get saved, you are supposed to bury that old man. You, now that don't leave out the women. That's meaning mankind. It's talking about you just burying that one, leaving it there is what it's talking about. But being resurrected to a new life is what it tells us down there in the 7th verse. Being resurrected to a new life. Living after the order of God. Living in such a way that God is glorified in that way. Now, as we talk about these types of witnesses today, I want us to show forth the witness of God. What is your witness of God? Let me ask you that today. I ain't had this impression in a long time. If I called on you today for a witness about what is God to you, what would you say? Brother Fabian? Bless your heart. Brother Rowan, what would you say? Brother Ray, what would you tell? Nothing any greater. Brother Adam. Yeah. Brother Adam, what would you have to say? My Lord. Sister Cheryl. Cheryl. God is great. Think about it. What I'm asking you to say today is, what is God to you? What is Jesus to you? Think about it for just a moment. You see, you're that witness today. How many of you have seen God? Well, none of us have we? Not physically have we? I saw him with a spiritual eye, yeah. You think about this. Have you seen God in a physical way? Have you seen Jesus in a physical way? I used to sing a song about me being blind and needing sight. And when that sight was renewed, I didn't see Jesus in that day. I didn't see him in a physical way. I didn't go to the actual cross of Calvary, but I saw him through a spiritual eye. But you know, I was in that place there at one time where I was such a sinner that I was so blind, I couldn't see him. You think about Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. And what did he do? He climbed up in a tree to where he could see him because he was a short fella. He couldn't see over Rowan over here. He couldn't see over Brother Brad, these tall guys that's around here. He probably couldn't even see over me. But the thing about it, what I'm trying to tell you, ye are witnesses for God. You're the witnesses of God. You're the blessings that God wants to see in you. Whenever an individual tells their testimony of salvation, they have a blessing that is beyond measure. We need to show it. It is beyond measure when we see them praise God. Oh, I just got saved. We've heard Brother Tom tell his testimony. Brother Tom, I don't mean this way. I love to hear you tell your testimony every time. And that's what I'm saying. I love to hear you testify of your salvation every time. It never gets old to me. It's precious in God's eyes. When Brother Lanny called me to tell me about his mother, one of the first things out of his mouth was, I know where she's at. That's a witness. And that's what he's holding on to. Ye are witnesses of God's great glory. What are you willing to do today to be that witness for God today? Brother Brad, get us a song. Feel like I ought to give an opportunity for members today. And I believe in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Don't get me wrong. I want you to join the church. Bless your heart, son. Bless your heart. While we sing this song, if there's others here today that needs to join the church here at Murfreesboro, we take you by membership, by experience in baptism. That means you've been saved first, being baptized into the church. You'll have all rights and privileges. That's what Landon's looking for. You all have a credit letter. We take... Thank you, Brother Brad. We have ones presented himself here for membership, as we always do. We ask them to tell us about being saved. Now, I know he's done told us about it, but we want Landon to tell us here. We always require it that you tell us what happened.
Well, it was late at night, Saturday, May 20th, and I was just really sad.
What help you?
I prayed.
Amen. Bless your heart. Bless your heart. Lord, bless. Bless your heart. Is that it? Bless your heart. Thought it was. Bless your heart, Landon. You've heard his testimony. What's the will of the church upon this brother as he's come? Motion made and second that we receive him, grant him all rights and privileges when baptized. We always, I know we done shook hands with him, but we want to extend to him the right hand of Christian fellowship at this time. Everybody that would, you get to shake hands with everybody again. Is that okay? Bless your heart, son. Bless you, lad. Everybody come around that would. Shake hands with him again. Yes, sir. Oh, I didn't vote. Thank you. I'm getting in a hurry. All in favor, let it be known by uplifted hand. All opposed, like side. Motion passed. I'm sorry. I got you in here too quick. I'm getting in a hurry. Thank you, Brother Tom. Now then, while we sing, everybody come around. Let's shake hands one with another. That helps.